But I want to welcome you all to another Daily Decad, your Rosary on the Road. I don't have any special intentions in the inbox today, but I do have an intention for all of us to pray for. I saw it on on the Rights and Duties podcast. I don't know whether you follow that or not. That's Trad Patrick over there. He's sort of a banner bearer for the Rad Trads. And he is very enjoyable to speak to, and his show has a lot of really wonderful stuff on it, more of a political vein than what you'll hear here. But most recently, he's put together GoFundMe as a corporal work of mercy for a family that is going through a great deal of trouble right now, the Stark family, as a result of being caught in this never-ending one-upmanship game that these corporations seem to play, where I have the most minorities on staff. And, well, Mr. Stark is not a minority, and so he got the cut. And his family is facing some real troubles because he's having a hard time getting back into the workforce at a level equivalent to where he was let go from, which is not surprising because that's another economic problem that an awful lot of people are facing. And so it's unfortunately not a unique situation, but it is a very bad situation for a good Catholic European family to be going through. European in the ethnic sense, obviously. They're here in America. He set up a GoFundMe. I've put a link to that on the Telegram. I think I'll probably share it on the Gab as well. If you get here from Exodus Americanus, I'll put the link in the show notes on the Exodus Americanus site as well, so that you can all contribute. Now, there's an option on GoFundMe to tip. Don't do that. They give that money to Antichrist organizations like BLM. So don't tip them. But do give money, if you can, as a corporal work of mercy to the Stark family to try to help keep them going. Any amount of money is enough. But more powerful than money, as we are regularly reminded by the Holy Saints, is the power of prayer. So we're going to pray for the Stark family today, for his success in finding work, and for their continued well-being and growth in faith. And if you have an intention, whether it's a matter of some gravity like this one is, or whether it's a lighter intention, you can send that in to Daily Decad Requests at protonmail.com. That's Decad, D-E-C-A-D-E, and requests in the plural at protonmail.com. Now, let's turn our hearts and minds to God on behalf of the Stark family. Today is a Tuesday, which means that we're going to be praying in English. And if you're praying your rosary, Sorrowful Mysteries today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicut erat in principio et... Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Hail, Holy Queen, Mother of Mercy, our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To thee do we cry, poor banished children of Eve. To thee do we send up our sighs, weeping and mourning from this vale of tears. Turn then, O gracious Advocate, thine eyes of mercy unto us. And after this, our exile, shew unto us the blessed fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Clement, beloved, sweet Virgin Mary. Pray for us, O Holy Mother of God, that we may be made worthy of the promises of Christ. Let us pray. Pour forth, we beseech thee, O Lord, thy grace into our hearts, that we to whom the incarnation of Christ, thy Son, was made known by the message of an angel, may by his passion and cross be brought to the glory of his resurrection. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Saint Joseph the Worker, Father, one who was hounded with thy family by the worldly powers who valued worldly things and hated thy foster son, the Son of God, for he brought to them a message of the otherworldly. As you flew in poverty into Egypt, protecting thy family at the command of God, fly now quickly to the aid of the Stark family and protect them. Aid the patriarch of this family with the finding of work, which is thy patronage, and intercede on their behalf before the throne of God, thy son Jesus Christ, thy foster son Jesus Christ, that they may find themselves quickly delivered from the tribulations which now afflict them, that they may be blessed with the generosity of their fellow Christians, and that they may find stability and peace to give greater glory to God and thanksgiving to our Lord Jesus Christ for his intervention. And we ask this in the name of the same, Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with God the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. For all of us in our daily struggles, St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, mercy on us. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, thy kingdom come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I have to beg your forgiveness for my little lapse into Latin there. Force of habit, unfortunately. I may cut that out, in which case I'll cut this little bit out and we'll just dive into what we're going to talk about today. But I wanted to, in case I don't get around to actually doing any editing, which is a good chance I won't, I wanted to beg your forgiveness for that little hiccup there. It's, you know, you get into habits of prayer, and as you get into habits of prayer, it's hard to break those, even when you're doing something like this. I suppose it's a good thing that it happened, because it means that that I'm actually engaged in prayer. I'm not just rattling off words for you all to hear. I am actually speaking to God, which is what we all ought to be doing, not just following along with whatever you're hearing here, but really turning our hearts and minds to God and speaking to God with these prayers that we say. All the more reason because they're prayers that He and His Holy Church has taught us. He's given us such wonderful gifts. One of the greatest gifts I think that we could possibly have received, and I say, it almost sounds pompous to say that one of the greatest gifts I think we have, I don't mean it that way, but I was talking with some people recently about this, and it is true that the greatest gift that God has ever given us, obviously, is His incarnation. Jesus Christ Himself and His sacrifice on the cross. The crucifixion and the cross itself is the greatest gift God has given us. And it is a gift which we, if we wish to understand Christianity and live it, it is a gift that we must embrace to its fullness. And by that I mean we must embrace it as its whole. We must embrace Christ and the cross. Bishop Sheen has a really wonderful sermon where he talks about the contrast between the capitalist West and the communist East. And he puts them on a sort of opposite ends of a spectrum that are called horseshoe theory. On the one hand, the communist East in his day, the Soviet Union, was a land and a people that had the cross but no Christ. It was just suffering, just struggle, just the crucifixion itself, just pain and anguish and torture, with no meaning, no redemption, no resurrection, nothing to come from it. Meanwhile, in the capitalist West, they had Christ without the cross, a soft Christ, an effeminate Christ, a Christ who offers nothing because He gives nothing, truly an antichrist. And Bishop Sheen has a wonderful line. I love that he talks about how the capitalist West doesn't want a hand marred with the nail of the cross. They want a lily white hand. He has that delivery. You can't get that delivery from anyone but Bishop Sheen. And it's true. The West is defined by comfort and ease and weakness. The East, though, is defined by nothing but brutish strength. And in these days, as the West is imploding under the weight of its own vices, there is a movement, a political movement and social movement, that glorifies brutishness for its own sake. And you see this a lot, particularly in the dissident sphere of right-wing thought, which is really much broader than I think most people give it credit for. But you see a lot of this brutishness that shows up in the celebration of brutishness. You even have people that are revisiting notions of Bolshevism. All of these people usually are godless. You have to be godless in order to embrace suffering without meaning, because God gives meaning to suffering. And we, as Christians, have to recognize that the cross is essential. Without it, we do not have Christianity. But Christ upon the cross is likewise essential, because without Him, obviously, we don't have Christianity. If you only have Christ and you don't have the cross, you have an antichrist. And if you only have the cross and you don't have Christ, you have paganism. paganism is just suffering without meaning and no morality. That's one of the defining features of Roman religion, you know. It's a religion that has no moral impetus. It places no moral burden upon people. There were moral burdens in the ancient world. I don't mean to say that they were all running around as libertines and moral monsters. After all, you have these wonderful authors of antiquity, great philosophers, Aristotle and his Nicomachean Ethics. You have Plato, you have Zeno of Citium, the Stoics. Even Epicurus has some things that recommend him, and my personal favorite is Diogenes of Sinope. You have all these wonderful men that are all giving ethics to the ancient world. But that's the problem, isn't it? You have as many ethics as you have philosophers. You have as many moral codes as you have men coming up with them. You don't have anything defining and unifying. And the Roman Senate might have been made up of Stoics and Cynics and Epicureans, the way that a modern parliament is made up of social democrats and liberals political greens. There we are. You know, men were all divided up. There was no unifying ethic that their religion could give them. All these men sacrificed to the same gods. They all participated in the same Saturnalia. And yet they had a dozen different moral codes. And we are once again descending into that situation because of this loss of our own ethic. And it really is the separation of Christ from the cross. We have one party that prefers the cross. We have another party that prefers Christ without the cross. And then there's the minority. The real minority report, what Chesterton called the democracy of the dead, tradition, which is Christ upon the cross for all eternity. It is the greatest gift that we receive when our religion focuses on the crucified Christ. Good Friday almost seems to us greater than Easter Sunday, because it is on Good Friday that we join with Christ in his suffering, where we earn the redemption. And of course, none of us can ever be worthy of the redemption. None of us can ever be worthy of what Christ gives to us. He alone was a worthy sacrifice. That's why he had to be crucified. But we cannot share in the resurrection by itself. Faith alone is folly. It is faith that gives us the resurrection, but it is the work of our heart that gives us the crucifixion and our share in that crucifixion, which grants meaning to all of our suffering. It draws our suffering to it, like our Blessed Mother draws all of our sorrows into hers. And we weep with her as we suffer with Christ, and we feel in that moment that unification to Christ's sacrifice, which is the only means of unification with God, the only means of what the East refers to as theosis, is upon the cross, with our hands pierced, with our feet pierced, with our side pierced. For love pierces. It is in the pain of love that we are made one with God, because God's love is piercing. And it always has been. For God's love is a love that is always accompanied with pain. For that creature which he loves the most seems only capable of inflicting pain upon a loving father. Now, God can't be hurt. We can't do anything to change him, to do anything to him. But his love for us is repaid with betrayals, with ignorance, with constant demands placed upon him for more. We crucify Christ every day by our sins and our faults. And we can't take him off the cross. And so the only thing we can do to correct this, to make reparation, is to join him. And if we take him down off the cross, we cannot join him on the cross. If we take him down off the cross and put him in shining white robes, crawling out of the tomb in all of our churches, this victory of the resurrection, how can we have victory in the, how can we triumph at the resurrection if we have not fought the battle? Church is where we fight the battle. And we must either join him in battle, or we must die in truly ignominious death. You know, the ancient Germanics, Tacitus remarks on this in Germania. He talks about the ancient Germanics and how if their chieftain fell in battle and they did not, they would go hang themselves in the trees. Because to them, to die on the field of battle was the only honorable death that they could have. Now, this was a demonic perversion of a basic Christian truth, that the only death worth dying is the death in the midst of a great work undertaken. And the greatest work that we can undertake is the work of participation in the salvation that God gives us. Why is it that the prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Elijah, John the Baptist, why do they put on camel hair and loincloths and flee into the desert to live on bugs and wild honey? Why is it that they inflict pain upon themselves? They have no cross to participate in, but they know that it is only through this penance, through this participation in suffering, through this small imitation of what must be done, and for us what has been done, that they are able to die in the midst of this great work. You know, the Germanics were the ones that had a demon that they worshipped, Odin, who was hanged on a tree and pierced in his side by a spear, a mocking of the crucifixion, before the crucifixion was preached to these ancient barbarians. They had an eye for it. They knew. They understood. Well, they didn't understand. They foresaw. They foresaw without understanding, and that understanding was given to them. It was a lesson taught to them in a language they understood, one that was written in blood in some cases. But they knew who Christ was. When they saw him, they recognized him. Same is true of the Egyptians. Actually, they had a similar thing. You have these peoples before Christ comes. These pagans are groping around in the dark. And sometimes they get a grip on the truth. And they're able to get sure footing. That's why Plato and Aristotle, there are Greek churches that have Plato and Aristotle in icon in the narthex as you're walking in. They're not saints, but they were the righteous heathen who went to the limbo of the fathers. We too, we have a gift that they did not have. We can participate in the crucifixion to die in the midst of this great work. Because we die with Christ upon the cross, in the midst of that great work, then we cannot die. We taste of death but once, as the bard has it, Caesar. What is that? That's the soliloquy of Caesar as he goes to the Senate. The valiant taste of death but once, but cowards die many times before their death. could not convince him not to go to his death. That's heroic valor, and that's Christian valor. Shakespeare was able to write that. Caesar didn't actually say that, but Shakespeare was able to write that because Shakespeare, unlike Caesar, was a Christian. All Caesar said was, "And you, Brutus?" That's the best Caesar could muster. Shakespeare puts these great words in his mouth and makes him a hero. With a Christian embrace of death and suffering, because that's all life is, and we made it that way through our sins. And so my prayer today is that we are able to embrace this death to the world that is represented in the cross, that is contained, that is the crucifixion, and that we are able, that we will make the crucifixion the focal point of our faith, and not just the cross, but the crucifixion itself, not just Christ, but Christ crucified, and these coming together to be united might draw us to them, and that we might be united with them as well, and being united, make all of our suffering a crucifixion. Make all of our pain Christ's pain. That we might taste in its fullness, in deep draughts, the water of life that flows from the heavenly resurrection, the earthly resurrection and the heavenly ascension. And that participating in it, sharing in Christ's suffering, we might, as we pray every day when we say our rosary, through his passion and cross, we join in his resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.